passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And it is Monday. A new week has arrived. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday. We have a lot to do. A lot of things are happening, including some spring football to report. A lot of basketball over the weekend. Let us get started right now. Who are the top 10 quarterbacks in the country? Well, one of them is Carson Beck. But you already knew that, didn't you? Maybe you didn't. That's why we're here, to tell you what you don't know. Meanwhile, this happened as we were heading out of here on Friday, but the NCAA is essentially waving the white flag. We'll talk to Ralph Russo about that. Or are they? Charlie Baker, in his usual doublespeak with a Friday afternoon news dump, will talk about what he said or really what he meant to say, and we'll interpret it for you a little bit later on. We have questions for everybody in the SEC. Jesse Simonton will join us a little bit later from On Three. He'll have more answers than you have questions for. And spring practice all over the place. Felt like spring today for the first time since forever. Alex Scarborough, 15 things he is watching. I'm actually watching for more than that. What about you? 17 things? Okay. We'll find some more things to watch as spring ball is beginning everywhere, including Alabama. Alex Scarborough has joined us many times, but never with 24/7, which he is now with. And Alex, thanks for the time and congratulations. I saw you at the Rose Bowl, and you informed me that you were about to make a move, and apparently you have. Congratulations on your new assignment.
I appreciate it. It was good running into you in Pasadena. A lot has changed since then. I think Nick Saban overshadowed my move just a bit.
Yeah, I was thinking Alex leaving ESPN for 24/7, Saban leaving Alabama for ESPN. I don't know. I mean, I think in terms of impact, your move may have just the same, but it did not get the same amount of coverage. So, Alex, speaking of Alabama, there is a new sheriff, or a new coach, I should say, even though Saban showed up on Saturday night and naturally overshadowed the new guy at the basketball game. What's going on there today and the rest of the week, and what are people looking for when it comes to spring ball under Kalen DeBoer?
It's the unofficial start of the DeBoer regime, and therefore sort of the unofficial end of the Saban dynasty in a way. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. It's going to be weird going out to practice and not seeing Nick Saban in a straw hat in Tuscaloosa. You get so used to it over, 17 years? But here we are. We're in a new place. We didn't know when it would come, but it's come. And now it's all about trying to figure out where this team is going to be year one after some significant attrition on the roster via the transfer portal, some guys leaving for the NFL, and just some major question marks, whether you're talking about replacing two starting tackles on the offensive line, replacing a bunch of positions in the secondary with some starters leaving and also some key reserves, and what this offense looks like moving forward. We know a lot about what Jalen Milroe is capable of with how he developed last season, but where's the room for growth in terms of just a pure pocket passer and how he sort of fits into what DeBoer likes to do offensively? It's 15 practices, it's the spring, so we don't want to get too carried away, but hopefully we can learn a little bit about what Alabama looks like in 2024.
Yeah, Alex, we saw the coach with the quarterback watching basketball the other night. I don't know if that's really an indicator of anything other than they've met each other. But let's start with Milroe, because he was one of the biggest stories of last season, and he will be the same as we get ready for 24. What do you expect?
I expect to see DeBoer and Nick Sheridan, their offensive coordinator, along with Jamarcus Shepherd, kind of push Milroe to grow a little bit at the position. Obviously, he showed a big playability, not just with his legs, but with the deep ball last year. But I think it's the in-between where he has the most room to develop in terms of the short to intermediate passing game and just sort of reading the field and managing the pocket a little bit better. Again, not taking anything away from what he accomplished. You don't finish sixth in the Heisman Trophy by being a scrub, but I think there's room to develop, and I think this staff is going to try to coax the most out of him. And I think the hope also has to be that maybe the offensive line plays a little bit better. Maybe the snaps aren't such an issue, but we definitely saw one of the things we saw in Pasadena. I know it feels like it's been ages, but we saw a little bit of regression, I think, in Milroe's game. He wasn't quite as sure of himself, I think, in the passing game. I think some of that was the long layoff. I think it was the only game all season where he didn't score a touchdown. So can they get him back on track and continue to grow him? He seems to be pretty happy with the coaching change overall, and they're starting in a good place. But let's see where the growth is. He came back for a reason, and I'm excited to see how he sort of changes his game.
Hard to believe it was only 2 months ago from about this moment when we were standing on the field together out there, Alex, and here we are with so much changing. And by the way, a lot of people have made a big deal about Caleb Downs leaving and so many other players, but there is another portal opening, and I know it's hard to predict, but what do you sense, what do you hear when that portal opens again in a couple of weeks, and what do you think Alabama is looking for?
I don't get the sense that it's going to be wholesale free agency on the part of Alabama. Let's go grab up every player that's there. I don't think, technically speaking, they have a ton of roster spots to do that. Now, players could still leave Alabama. That door is going to be open again on the 15th. But I think there are some positions where they can kind of backfill. Again, I talked about it off the top. Offensive line, especially offensive tackle. They've got some key pieces to replace there with J.C. Latham going to the NFL draft, Caden Proctor transferring to Iowa. And then in the secondary, you know, Downs leaves, Kool-Aid McKinstry leaves, Terry and Arnold leaves, Trey Amos leaves. There's a long list of guys. They need numbers at that position. Even if it's not a guy who they think is going to be a starter, they need depth there. So I can see them going in that spot. But let's be pragmatic about this. The guys who are going to be difference makers who are looking to transfer, by and large, made that decision already coming out of last season. They knew what they wanted to do. Why wait and do it in the spring? So while there could be guys surprise you and enter the portal, I don't think there's going to be a ton of big names that you say, oh, man, Alabama needs to go get that guy. I don't think the activity is going to be nearly what it was. So pickings might be a little bit slimmer. I don't think Alabama is going to go crazy overall in the portal.
Alex Scarborough with us from 24/7. Alex, media treatment of something is often inside baseball, but in the case of Nick Saban, it was really bigger than that because he had such a hold over the media. You were able to cover him from different positions, but from the position of ESPN with a little bit of air between you and maybe what others had to deal with. But how do you see all of that changing, and especially if things don't go well, how much sharper do you think the criticism will be of Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah, it was really interesting to see over the years the way the rest of the sport started adopting Nick Saban's media policies, and the way even his former assistants, they'd go to other schools, and I'd talk to them, and they'd, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to be more open than Nick was, and slowly but surely they'd pull back the reins just because, you know, when you see the greatest coach of all time do it one way, you're going to think naturally that's the way to do it. Now, with Kalen DeBoer coming in and opening things up, I'm not going to say it's going to be complete transparency with this program moving forward, but some practice availability, being able to talk to assistant coaches and members of the coaching staff, potentially more players as well. I think there's a part of this that's not necessarily inside baseball that's really just pragmatic. I mean, it's a new coach in a way wanting to, I think he can benefit himself in terms of getting positive press because they haven't won or lost a game yet. And the media is going to appreciate the ability to talk to these people in the program who they haven't been able to talk to in the past. But also, I mean, I think all the question to most of your answers in college football is about recruiting. And this is about a staff that doesn't, there's a significant portion of them, DeBoer included, who do not really have a profile in this part of the country and therefore aren't really well known to the kind of recruits that they're going to be going after in Alabama, Georgia, Florida. They've been on the West Coast, so they need people to know about them. And, you know, people can say what they want about the media. It's a megaphone for people to get to know you. So us telling them their stories publicly for fans and therefore the recruits to know, I think is a smart decision, especially early on when essentially you really have nothing to lose. I think there's a piece of this that they think over time is going to pay dividends for them.
And finally on that subject, because that's the one thing we don't know about Kalen DeBoer. We know how successful he has been. Everybody knows that. We know what his record is. We know what he almost did a year ago. But you know, having lived there for a long time, how different and difficult things can be, not only from the media, but just from fans and social media. I know we can't peer too far in the near future, but how much more difficult do you think it's going to be for anyone not named Nick Saban?
Very much so. I mean, he could win three national championships and still fall short of Nick Saban's standard that he set. I mean, it's incredible when you really step back and think about it. Now, I think most Alabama fans are going to have some level of understanding that, you know, you can't recreate what happened. What happened before is unprecedented, especially when you talk about the modern college football game and the way it's changed with the transfer portal and NIL, the ability to dominate year in and year out. I just don't know if that's necessarily possible anymore. So understanding that what success looks like moving forward is probably going to be a little bit different. But, you know, not to go too far in another subject, the NIL piece of this, I know people get kind of worn out on that. Alabama, it's going to be very interesting to see the way Alabama can recruit in a world where NIL means everything, in that they're not the top dog in terms of we have the most money. With Nick Saban, there was almost like an NIL discount because players were like, I can go play for him and I can get, you know, an easier path to the NFL. Maybe easier is not the right way of putting it, but a cleaner path to the NFL because of all their success. So how are DeBoer and his staff going to overcome the fact that maybe they're not getting that discount anymore? So they've got to be a little bit more aggressive in recruiting or smarter in recruiting. There are going to be challenges for this staff that Nick Saban over years and years and years have built advantages. This DeBoer and his staff are going to have to try to figure out a way to do that. Now, he has built a resume that is really impressive and says he knows how to find multiple ways of winning. And everybody essentially is competing in the same place in a new non-Nick Saban era. So give him time, and we'll just see what it looks like over the next few months, weeks, years, however far you want to look down the line. But yeah, there's certainly challenges when you no longer have Nick Saban as your head coach at the University of Alabama.
Such great analysis and reporting from Alex Scarborough, now with 24/7. Many thanks, Alex. Look forward to chatting soon. Alex Scarborough starting it off for us on the opening of spring ball at the University of Alabama. We begin today with your phone calls after Alex, and a long way to go as we roll on here. A new week has arrived. Spring camp opening, not everywhere, but almost everywhere. Alabama, the next one to drop.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. Great conversation with Alex as we begin another week here by taking your phone calls. Always the most perilous part of every show. Let's begin with Swamp Dog in Georgia. Hello, Swamp Dog.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
I wanted to speak a little bit about the passing of Chris Mortensen. I've always kind of enjoyed him. He was kind of one of the original inside NFL reporters, wasn't he? And, you know, a lot of people have followed his path, you know. And I didn't know if you ever worked with him or not. Did you ever work with him?
Yeah, I didn't. I'm glad you mentioned that. Mort passed away yesterday, and really the entire sports world has reacted, from Peyton Manning to people that work side by side with him. I got to know Mort when he was a writer at the AJC in Atlanta and kept up with him over the years. In fact, it wasn't that long ago. It's like maybe a couple of years, about 2 years ago now, I was on a flight and sat next to him, and we had a long conversation catching up. His son, Alex, worked for Nick Saban for quite a long time. He's now the OC for Trent Dilfer at UAB. But the thing that I admired, and I think many Swamp admired about Mortensen, which is more difficult to admire about anyone on TV today, is that he was selfless. He was interested in one thing, and that's in two things, serving his bosses and serving the public, as opposed to, like so many people now on television in similar roles, being self-serving, when it's all only about them. It's only about how quickly they can tell you what they knew or know before someone else has the exact same information, even though the same person is giving it to everyone. Often a phrase used in eulogies that someone was the last of a dying breed, but Mort really was, because even though he did really well, he and I know it sounds like I'm beating up on a lot of people who wear makeup and are on TV just like I am, but I am, because he was unique, that he did it for all the right reasons instead of all the self-serving, narcissistic reasons you see television people do it for today.
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%. I just didn't know if you knew him that well or not, but I'm glad to hear that you did. That's good. I always respected him myself, you know.
Well, everyone did, Swamp. It's so unusual when someone leaves us, and everyone offers, you know, no matter who passes away, we always try to say nice things, although, quite frankly, it can be difficult. The antithesis is true for Chris Mortensen, and our very best and sincere condolences to his family and to his many, many friends. Thank you for bringing that up. Let's check in next with Bash, who is in Colorado. Hello, Bash.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call. How was your weekend?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great to hear. Paul, I wanted to ask you about over this weekend the Alabama-Tennessee game that you incorrectly predicted. I wanted to ask you, Paul, if you heard about or if you heard Nate Oates' comments he made before the game, and I wanted to ask you if you think that those comments were preluming that he is not going anywhere and he's going to be staying at Alabama. What did you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, I never pay attention to a coach during the season when talking about his own career, because I've seen too many people say things. I'm not talking about Nate personally. I like him a lot, but I am too hardened and been around too long to believe anyone.
That's a good answer to that question that I just asked you. One more thing I wanted to ask, since shout out to Swamp Dog for an awesome call he just had before me. I wanted to ask you, Paul, about the other synonymous swamp dog that I mentioned to you a couple months ago, Travis Etienne. Did you hear his comments that he made about the program of Florida now that he's the newest Georgia Bulldog running back?
Yeah, I saw he was very critical of Florida, which you would expect him to be. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bulldogs next in L.A. Hello, Bulldog.
Oh, man, losing Chris Mortensen really hurt because I remember he was a writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in the early 80s, you know, and reporting on the Braves, you know, Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, Chris Chalmers, all those cats, Phil Negro. And then when football season came, Paul, you know, they switched over to the Falcons, you know, and before Ed White. I'm talking about Steve Barkowski. I got to throw some names at you. William Andrews, Alfred Jenkins. I met Morty in Vegas, you know, for the NFL draft a few years ago in Vegas when he had it and waved at me. I told him who I was. And one other thing, he was sick then and lost
yeah,
a lot
you,
of weight.
Yeah, you know, so Bulldog, he has been sick for a long time, and he continued to work. And what's particularly interesting, and I have a few of my bosses have worked very closely with him, and it was the personal relationships he had with everyone that really, I mean, I would put that almost past anybody I have met at this company.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. It was a pleasure because the NFL draft moves from city to city, and it was my pleasure meeting him for the first time after decades of watching him and reading his material early 80s at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But that being said, man, I thoroughly enjoyed the NFL scouting combine. I'm an SEC fan, first and foremost, Georgia. And I enjoyed seeing Ladd McConkey running a 4.39, the little receiver, and the big tackle of Marius Mims. Now, Brock Bowers didn't work out, Paul. You already know that, but I want to see where he goes. And in Alabama, you know, Dallas Turner ran a 4.47 at 240 pounds or something like that. J.C. Latham did good. So I remember all these cats were recruited, brother. You know, I'm a recruiting geek. I'm also an NFL draft geek, so I want to follow these cats that played in the SEC.
Well, Bulldog, certainly that is where we are right now. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break, but we'll continue on what Bulldog said from L.A. Much more to come. We have a lot of information, including some comments made by Jimbo Fisher. Remember him? Returned from the dead this morning, and we'll share with you what he had to say about the future of college football.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We mentioned a minute ago that Jimbo Fisher making a rare appearance today on ESPN Radio, a rare appearance anywhere for that matter. He was on the Undisputed Show. Oh, excuse me, unsportsmanlike. I'll get to know ESPN Radio's lineup a little better when I see it. He was on, what was the name of the show? He was on Unsportsmanlike earlier today.
I would find one guy that oversees college football and have a parity of rules and a committee that investigates the illegal activities and the things that go on. So it's like you do in the NFL. Mm. You have one commissioner, one thing, so everything is fair across the board, no matter what your conference is. I mean, everybody says Nick should be the guy. You know what I'm saying? He knows, but okay, what about the bit? I'm not saying he doesn't, but somebody's got to have the business end of that because TV and marketing right now and the amount of money for the players, the coaches, the schools and everything that goes on, you have to manage that too. And I think we're heading that way. I may be crazy, But I see it now with the major conferences all coming together, and there may be that break of the 50, 60, 70, however many schools get into that group of teams that separate themselves in Division I sports. And I'm not saying that's good, but I see it coming.
So what did Jimbo say as he took a brief time out from counting his money out in Texas? Here's what I heard from him, basically saying the same thing everybody else is saying, except Nick Saban essentially, stop me if I'm wrong, Nick Saban really isn't qualified to be the czar of college football because, according to Jimbo, you need somebody who understands business. Like, he didn't just run the most successful football operation in the history of mankind, Jimbo, routinely kicking your ass and everybody else's, but everybody says Nick should do it, but I mean, Jimbo just can't stop with the hate of Nick Saban. I mean, that is truly remarkable. Nick Saban is eminently qualified. He not only has ownership in a Mercedes dealership, he's involved in other businesses. He is probably about to be on the board of Aflac, one of the deals that he made for doing the TV commercial, making millions of dollars. He's got five homes. Meanwhile, Jimbo's sitting out there in his ranch, you know, watching sheep run away from the Australian hound dog while taking shots at Nick Saban. Anyway, let's get to the calls. Brad is up next in Destin. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
Very well, Brad. How are you?
Good. That was an interesting conversation a few minutes ago with Alex Scarborough. Did I hear him right that he said that the NIL was probably the most important thing going on today?
Yes, of course.
That's what I thought. Well, you know, in your opinion, if you had to rank NIL, recruiting, and transfer, I think you would agree those three factors have changed the face of college football as much as anything. And with, you know, they're making a big deal out of DeBoer not having been in the Southeastern Conference, but the ruling last week, correct me if I'm wrong, you can now legally use NIL inducement to recruit a kid. Is that correct?
100% correct.
Okay. So you're basically in a bidding war now.
You have nailed every one of your points.
I mean, you can go in and it's basically, you know, you're talking to a young man and saying, what's it going to take to get you to come to our university? And if he says $350,000, well, they go back to it's an auction almost. I know that sounds crude or whatever. They go back and said, well, this other university offered me $500,000. So I'm interested in going there. But the other thing that I had read, and correct me, you know, like Jimbo had said, they need somebody to oversee the rules. As far as I know, and this is very probably archaic, what are the rules now? You know,
bottom line is this. With that court ruling and then with the NCAA essentially saying we're not going to prosecute anyone, there are no rules. The only rules that remain in effect are some archaic eligibility rules that are occasionally enforced, but the so-called recruiting rules are done. There are no rules, so it all depends, as you know, because you were a legendary recruiter at a number of schools, including Alabama, that it's just how well is your organization?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're allowed 85 guys on scholarship. Okay, what's to prevent a corporation from coming in and saying, "Hey, we'll pay this guy, we'll pay for him to be a walk on"? Okay, that exceeds. He's not on scholarship, so now you know you get an additional 8 or 10 guys that are making a lot of money. They're walk ons. They're not part of the 85. So it gets very challenging right there. But I just wanted to throw in my 2 cents worth, and I thought that was interesting what Alex
said. Hey, thank you, Brad. You be well. You take care of yourself. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, the ultimate oxymoron. Jimbo Fisher talking about fairness and enforcement of rules. Did I hear that right?
I'm just so glad for Jimbo to appear out of nowhere to offer a random opinion on something that he knows very little about. Because I remember Jimbo a year ago, 2 years ago, said they didn't use NIL when they were recruiting.
Yeah, right. Hey, Paul, excellent opening interview with Alex Scarborough. I thought his analysis was great. I would disagree with one concept. That was that Jalen Milroe's regressed during the Rose Bowl. You and I were there. I mean, before he could get a grip on the ball, he was sacked 6 times. So I think he had another 6 pressures. The receivers weren't open. I don't think it was his fault. I think it was the entire offense. And I'm really bullish on DeBoer. I think what he did with Michael Penix and what Alex says needs to be done with Jalen, I think he can turn Jalen Milroe around, don't you?
I think he certainly has a chance. I just, I'm only concerned about what that roster looks like when spring comes to an end.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about the NCAA. It may take too long, so let me ask you a quick question. Did you take your wife to the picture show over the weekend?
No, we decided to hold off on that for things to be a little quieter.
Well, you recall you were going to try and catch up on new movies that came out last fall, but I'll give you a quick 4 and a terrible 2 not to see. The quick 4 are Equalizer 3 with Denzel Washington. Nothing needs to be said more than that other than moves from Boston to Italy. Maestro, I think you'll find that a fascinating.
Yeah, that is number 2 on my list of movies I want to see.
Yeah, and then Oppenheimer, the story of Manhattan.
Yeah, that is number 1.
Well, that runs about 3 hours, just be warned. And then my 4th.
I wonder if they could start it without me.
Sure.
I know how it ends.
Get the previews. Yeah, I know. Get big with the Big Bang. Killers of the Flower Moon, you know, it's Martin Scorsese, so that's excellent.
Yeah.
The 2 not to see are Barbie, obviously, and also Napoleon. It's like a 2.5-hour documentary, and it's got Joaquin Phoenix, who's kind of dark. And
yeah, I was curious about Barbie. The guy next to me on the flight to L.A. was watching it, and while I was watching Missouri destroy Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, and I looked over a couple of times. It just looked like the same thing every time I looked over, Barbie and Ken. I remember that when I was 6 years old.
It's kind of Barbie land and kind of a feminist fantasia. It's just kind of goofy and comic.
Well, here's how I view that, John. If for whatever reason I'm laid up in the hospital for a couple of weeks, I'll catch up on all those movies. We'll take a short break. And I'm not planning on it, by the way. We are back right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here on a Monday afternoon. Ralph Russo next hour. Let's continue by saying hello to Shane in Tennessee. Hello, Shane.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul Feinbaum.
Shane.
What did you think about Saturday night, the blockbuster event?
Very impressed. That game was about a one-point game until about a minute left, and Tennessee did everything right at the end. That was a fantastic performance by Tennessee.
If they went out Wednesday, and South Carolina Wednesday and Kentucky at home Saturday night, if they went out right, do you think they'll get a number one seed? And then I got a comment about
NCAA. Yeah, I think they will win out, and I think they'll get a number one seed. They deserve a number one seed. I can think of maybe one or two, maybe two teams, maybe three that I would rank ahead of them, but I can't think of another one.
Me either, Paul. And one more thing, I'll be real quick. You know, with the NIL and the NCAA and the hog trough, is a, you know, the SEC, it could it possibly be a SEC and Big Ten breakaway? It's kind of like the PGA, you know, Live Golf. They broke away from the PGA, and now they're in business together. So
yeah, Shane, I think what's going on here is more negotiating and leverage than really a serious move. But I think the SEC and the Big Ten could afford to leave everyone else behind to play for second or third or maybe 68th place. And if the rest of the conferences don't want to go along, they'll find out what it's like to be in the minor leagues. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. And Carrie is in Tampa. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking.
The reason I was calling is I played against Pete for 4 years, and the only discrepancy, I think she's done a tremendous job of what she has accomplished, but the problem I have is we could not play as freshmen, where he scored about 700 points.
Right.
And also, on top of it, they talk about her ball handling and passing. He also was a tremendous assist. All they've talked about is his scoring versus his versatility as a player, and could do it all. And I'm just wondering what your opinion is, along with other people, of why, if you're going to consider her 4 years, why they wouldn't throw in his freshman year, and then that's another 700 points plus.
Carrie, number one, I'm going to get to your playing in a minute. I watched yesterday like millions of other Americans. It was exciting, and there's no way you can't be a fan of Caitlin Clark. But you're right. 4 years versus 3 years is not a fair comparison. Forget Caitlin Clark for a second. Everyone's talking about her. I want to know what it was like to play against Pete Maravich.
Well, it was quite a joy. I played against him for 4 years. I had a bet, Paul, for the beers back in those days that I'd hold him under 30. My freshman year, he got 31. But the joy was not so much against Tennessee, because if you remember Ray Mears, we did the 3-1-3, and we slowed the ball down. So he didn't really ever score a lot against us.
Sure.
If you remember, 23, 19, 27, whatever.
I knew Ray very well, not as well as you, but he was there.
But the greatest way to watch Pete Maravich in our day was against Kentucky with Dan Issel.
Sure.
That became a good friend of mine. So is Mike Pratt and Mike Casey. Because all Rupp did said, look, he's going to score a lot. We're going to score a lot. And those games are like an NBA, you know, 120 to, you know, 97 or, you know, 105 to 84. They beat him pretty good, but Pete would have 60, 65. You know, Issel would have 42 or 52. And those games, you really saw the true Pete because they played him just man-to-man, where a lot of others played him a boxing one like we did or other things to try to slow him down.
Now, if I remember, the boxing one, you had one guy trailed the leading player for the other team the entire way, no matter where he went. Was that how the box worked?
That's exactly correct. Billy Hahn did it. I did it a little bit. Billy Justice. Between the three of us, then my senior year, I did it more than anybody because they were a year ahead of me. And he ended up being a great guy. He played in the NBA. I happened to be in Buffalo then when they had a team. So I followed obviously Borwinkle when he came to town and Danny when he came to town, Danny Issel, and amongst of others along with Pete. And I was talking to my son because we had lunch with him before they played the Braves 1 year, and he was about 4 or 5. At that point, it was a thrill of his life to meet Pete Maravich because he was a classic, class person, the whole nine yards. So,
Carrie,
it was a real pleasure.
A number of years ago, I had lunch with C.M. Newton. I'm sure you remember C.M. And he told me,
absolutely.
I asked him the same question I asked you because I've been fascinated with Pete since I was a kid. I said, how well did you do against Pete Maravich? He said, great. He said, I think it was 69, hey, whatever year it was, I can't remember. He said, we held Pete to 69 points at Coleman Coliseum. And I've got a reputation as a defense. By the way, Alabama won the game, though, which is all he cared about.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying. Yes. And I talked, of course, being in Tampa now, talked a few Florida guys that were very good. was not walked. There was their, he was their best player against Borwinkle at the time. But and they said the same thing. It was just fun watching him. I'll tell you one thing. I was, this is just a personal about me. I was pretty intelligent, and at the first half, I caught Pete trailing, stopped quickly, and he fouled me. Then the second half, he did the same thing to us. He was always aware, as a brilliant mind, along with a great basketball player.
Do I remember, did he wear the same floppy socks every game?
Yes.
Okay.
Gray floppy socks. That's, I don't know if he ever changed them. They were the same kind, though. Exactly.
Okay. No, I mean, his father's name was Press, and it took me a year or two to figure out. Every time I saw Press, I thought they were talking about the Press, not Press. It was amazing. Man, people who didn't, I vaguely remember this. I was too young to be what I'm doing now, but it was one of the great eras of all time in college basketball. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.